what is the nuclear danger from this militant Islam? And Howard, how do you see these bombs when they go off? Are you surprised that there hasn't been a nuke exploded yet?
I'm astonished that there hasn't been a nuke exploded yet. First, let me go back on the Osama thing. I don't think that Osama directly ordered the bombings in London and the bombings in Spain. He didn't have to. Osama has established himself as a myth. Osama has established himself as a role model and legend. And in the same way that John Brown's body may be moldering in the grave, but his truth goes marching on, you know that old bit from Battle Hymn of the Republic?
Right.
Well, in the same way, it doesn't matter whether Osama is dead or alive. By now, he has left his imprint, and it will last for a long time to come. The question is, will the human race last long enough to keep his imprint alive because of nuclear weapons? And back in 1988, when I finished the first draft of the Lucifer Principle, and Lucifer Principle, in essence, Amazon.com readers say that this is the book that predicted 9/11 and all of the events that have followed. And my publisher from Paris called last week, and he said, "You called it again. How did you manage to predict in the Lucifer Principle what was going to happen in London? And how did you predict what's going to come in the next 10 to 15 years?" So the book has a lot of predictive power, apparently. But when I first finished that manuscript, and even when it came out in 1995, I was told that I was a maniac. Why? Because I was saying, any minute now, Islam is going to have its hands on the perfect weapons for all of its rhetorical purposes, nuclear weapons. Why the perfect weapon for all of its rhetorical purposes? Because there are so many images of fire tormenting the unbeliever, that's you and me, in the Quran, that it defies the imagination. One, for example, is, here's what's supposed to happen to you and me in hell. We'll be roasted on a spit and turned over and over again so that we scream as we feel each cell of our skin being scorched. But when our skin is finally crisped and blackened and falls off, we will be provided with an entirely new skin so that we can feel the screaming agony of that pain all over again. And it will continue in that way with new skins for us for infinity. With that kind of imagery, what kind of weapon would you choose? Now, here's a quote from Al-Qaeda's online magazine, Al-Ansar. The first part is something you'll find in many, 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 many different authors' words, Islamic authors' words. The elements of the collapse of Western civilization are proliferating. You'll find that all over the place. What you won't find is a little bit of the rest of this. Allah told us of the certainty of the annihilation of the infidels by means of the Muslim group, which would, in accordance with the Islamic commandment, torture them. The question now on the agenda is, how is the torture Allah wants done at our hands to be carried out? Well, we could go into the whole history of the Islamic nuclear weapon. It's ridiculous. The people were saying in 1995, Islam will never have a bomb, because in 1976, that's a long time ago, Pakistan's Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, I can't even pronounce his name, but its dictator announced that he was planning to build an Islamic bomb. And he said, in quotes, it would be a bomb for the defense of all Islamic countries. Now, the weird thing is the way that Islam tends to define defense. Anybody who threatens, quote, the purity of Islam is someone against whom one must mount a defense. In the words of the Ayatollah Khomeini, we have annihilated many a tribe because of its threat to corrupt Islam. Now, when CNN goes online in Arabic countries or in Malaysia or in Indonesia, a purist, a jihadist, how would he interpret that?
Yeah, but
corruption of Islam.
But wasn't Bhutto, I mean, I'm not an expert on this by any means, but if I remember correctly, wasn't he ultimately rejected by the Pakistani people for being too militant or too fundamentalist in his approach, and that they sort of tested the boundaries of the Muslim nature of the country, in that they wanted to preserve some democracy and some pluralism?
First of all, you're brilliant. I mean, most people do not know this history at all. Secondly, they did get rid of Bhutto. But the fact is that by 1983, this is 7 years after this statement by Bhutto, saying that he wanted to build the Islamic bomb, Abdul Qadir Khan, the father of the Islamic bomb, had snagged the complete design for a Chinese nuclear device that's only 34 inches in diameter. And guess what you can do with a nuclear device that's 34 inches in diameter?
Mm.
You can put it on a missile. That's 1983. So no matter what changes were going on in the government of Pakistan, Pakistan continued to work diligently to make nuclear devices. And by 1998, you know what happened. They had tested their first nuclear device, and guess what? It was a nuclear warhead. It was a 34-inch in diameter nuclear warhead designed to go on a missile.
So we have a minute. Give me in 60 seconds, then, your prediction on the use of a nuclear weapon by a Muslim extremist somewhere in the world.
There are two nuclear submarines in the water right now with a range of 11,000 miles. Each one carries 16 cruise missiles, and each of those cruise missiles is equipped with an atomic warhead. Those two super stealth submarines are both in the hands of the Islamic world, and they're both within easy grasp of Osama bin Laden. Now, figure that one out.
Whoa.
Think what the consequences of that might be.
Whoa. And that wouldn't be just then you think perhaps somebody doing something in honor of Osama bin Laden, but rather that Osama bin Laden may be directing that one?
He may be directing that one, and even if he's dead, there are a lot of smart people that he has been educating for a very long time, and they can handle this.